Wait, can you red lion an Eevee?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Hey everyone, welcome back to Trunk Talk. My name is Charlotte.
My name is Gabby.
And what are we sitting in today?
Today we're sitting in the frunk. And yes, you heard that right. Frunk with an F. Because the engine is in the back. Oh. And it is a 2020 Porsche 911 Carrera 4. The 992 generation. More on that later. But, so obviously the Porsche 911 is a performance car. Mm-hmm. It has a frunk. But you know what else has a frunk and is a performance car?
Could it possibly be an EV?
Yeah, actually. Oh. Today's podcast is all about the EV side of the performance world and how it is not exactly what you think.
So a lot of car enthusiasts generally hate the words EV, and especially when they're paired with the idea of a performance vehicle. But today we're going to be talking about one vehicle specifically that has impressed us, but we've driven a couple other performance EVs, and what would those be?
So let me refer to my notes. My very first performance EV I've ever driven, and largely just the first EV I drove for more than a short test drive, was a Tesla Model Y Performance. So that is obviously an SUV. It's pretty quick, 0 to 100, very fast. I thought it was amazing. I really liked how I stepped on the gas in that car took off, seemingly. My back was pinned to the seat, my head went backwards. It was just a lot of fun. After a couple minutes, though, of launching it, I got a little bit bored because everything else is just so lackluster. It was just an SUV, a techie one at that, but that was it. So that was one car. After that, I've driven the Model 3 Performance, the P100D, the Model S Plaid, the EV6 GT, and then, most recently, me and Charlotte got to experience the IONIQ 5N, and that's where everything changed.
Absolutely. This is a vehicle that really impressed us. Now, all these vehicles, they are great choices, but this is the one that kept the continual grin on our face, especially with the N-Grin Boost, because this vehicle offers 601 ponies, but also can have an additional
40 horsepower if you push a little red button. And no, it's not NOS. It's called the N-Grin Boost, and it is guaranteed to put an unwipeable smile across your face.
Absolutely. So this is a vehicle that really impressed us and really kind of changed it for us, even to talking about EV performance vehicles. But first, let's talk about what an EV performance vehicle actually is.
So quite simply, it is an EV, meaning it doesn't have a gas engine. You plug it in. And it's a performance one. So oftentimes, these will have increased horsepower, maybe things like an electronic stability control, maybe a limited slip differential, perhaps larger disc brakes, 0 to 100 in what, 3.4 seconds?
3.4 seconds.
So really impressive numbers. We're not talking about the Rimac though. We're talking about the more affordable ones today.
Yeah, we're not in Rimac tax bracket ever in our lives.
But by more affordable electric, or not electric, EVs, obviously. EVs, especially on the performance side of things, they're not cheap, and we'll discuss more on that later. However, this one, it's still, like, it's something that I, as a vehicle enthusiast, would absolutely drive. And that's right, I said vehicle enthusiasts will enjoy this car.
Wow. And that's not just us, that's pretty much everyone who has gotten their hands on this vehicle, which really made us, I don't know, I think it made us feel more proud of the product too. Yeah. But what are some of the challenges that people face when it comes to performance EVs? Because a lot of people don't like them.
So yeah, I think in the automotive world, EVs are just really frowned upon. For car enthusiasts, I should say. Obviously, a lot of people love their EVs and they are great cars. But for the enthusiast side of things, people that drive gas performance cars, they look at EVs and like, ugh. Whenever one shows up at the drag strip, they're like, well,
they're like, leave.
They're like, leave because I'm going to lose. But essentially, EVs, they're famous for their very quick acceleration, and you don't even have to get a performance one to experience that quick acceleration.
Absolutely.
The standard EV6, you're going 0 to 100 really, really fast, and that's already giving you that feel of being pushed into the back of your seat. And it's a lot of fun. When you take it to the performance side of things, though, especially on the IONIQ 5N, they've added a lot to it that a lot of people are thinking, wow, what a gimmick. That sounds corny. Who would want that? Just get a gas car, that kind of thing. And some of those gimmicks are actually what made us love this car.
Because, and I'm going to say this, I think it can be gimmicky, but it's so well done.
Yes, perfect execution. Absolutely. And that's not to say every performance EV is like that.
Yeah.
The Model S that I've driven is very lackluster, aside from its performance and ludicrous mode, that kind of thing. But the IONIQ 5N is a true enthusiast car.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more on that later, but I want to get back into the cons, why people see performance EVs as something negative, and Charlotte, weight is one of them, right?
Yeah, so when you're thinking of your performance vehicles, I think specifically of Porsche. A lot of the time in those beautiful, beautiful vehicles, you don't even see real badging on these vehicles. You see the sticker badging, because you know how much of weight reduction means.
Door handles.
Yeah, like, you know. And when it comes to the EVs, they're like, what if you built a 5,000-pound car?
With 641 horse.
And everyone's like, what?
It just doesn't sound like it works, but it does. Another thing is, I think, availability. So there's not a lot of performance EVs out there, and the ones that are out there, they're all expensive, like I mentioned.
Rimac, looking at you.
Rimac, seriously. That's the only reason why I didn't get it.
Obviously.
Because I was really considering it for my next car. Availability, there's not too much to choose from. That will change, however, and affordability will come down. Obviously, if you're looking at the supercar side of things, those are never going to be attainable for people like us. But you could totally get an Ioniq 5N.
Yeah.
And I would quite honestly be happier with an Ioniq 5N than a lot of sports cars in the gas world. So, yeah. We mentioned gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it.
So when it comes to gimmicks, and I think this is probably going to be my favorite.
My favorite gimmick is...
Yeah, that the Ioniq 5 does is the fact that it's going to give you not only audible, but also visual and an actual feeling when you are driving this vehicle. I think a lot of the time when it comes to EVs is it can have kind of a soulless response because they're absolutely silent. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the things that I kind of experienced when it came to the Model X too, is like you said, you've got that pin to your seat instant acceleration, but you don't get anything beyond that. You don't get the feeling of being in a fun car. Yeah. And that's kind of where it lost a lot of its lackluster. But in the Ioniq 5N, we actually have basically a synthetic dual clutch transmission, which again, when we're reading this, we're like, okay, that sounds so weird, but like, this is gonna be so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be terrible. But.
Yeah, the day before we got it and I was reading up about it, I read artificial 8-speed dual clutch transmission. I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be horrible. And then I read fake exhaust tones as well, too, a snap, crackle, and pop.
It gets worse.
Yeah, but guys, it got worse. And then we actually got into the car. Now, when we were at a standstill, just idling in the parking lot, trying to get a feel for where everything was, the artificial noise, it was a little corny, I'm not going to lie. Mm. Just because, why? You know, that kind of thing. But as soon as we actually got onto the road and up to speed, and we were utilizing those paddle shifters to manually manipulate the artificial transmission.
Which sounds crazy.
Which sounds very negative for car enthusiasts, but trust me, guys, it gets better. It actually responds the way a proper dual clutch transmission vehicle would be. So the Porsche PDK, for example, you rev up those RPMs, you have a ton of fun, drop it, downshift it, pops, maybe not this one, but you know, you get a nice little feedback, you get that jerky feel of a poorly timed gear shift. You get that in this EV too. So it's not just, you know, you get the look on your tachometer that you're downshifting on the EV. You get that proper feel. So everything, all the boxes are checked.
Yep.
The look, the feel, the sound. And if I didn't know any better, if I didn't know it was an EV getting into it, I would have been properly fooled.
Yeah, that definitely, it was a gas car. You could definitely fool some with it. And what I love about this vehicle is it is designed for as a performance vehicle.
Yeah.
So you can completely use it on the road and it's a road vehicle, but also for the track and for the drag strip.
Mm-hmm.
And something I love about the integration of all those features and how well they perform is if you are a spirited driver or a performance driver, then you like getting that feedback because you're going to be in tune with your vehicle. You're going to know based off of sounds, based off of the feeling, when to shift, when to drive your car and how to drive your vehicle, and you get all that feedback, and it's so perfectly mimics a true dual clutch transmission that it just makes this vehicle more fun to drive.
And it's not only that instant power and yes, that gear shift feel like response. This vehicle is also equipped with everything you'd expect in a performance car. So think of large disc brakes, think of extreme brake force. You get 0.6 Gs of brake force on this car, and you get regenerative braking too. You also get Pirelli P0 tires. So Z-rated grippy tires. This vehicle hugs the road.
Grippy grabbers.
And you don't feel the weight at all because of the speed and the handling. Mm-hmm. Unless you're really throwing it into a corner, then it's a really heavy car. It can't hide everything. But the feel is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You also get a limited slip diff in this car, electronic stability control, everything you'd really expect in this car.
You change your torque distribution.
Yeah, torque distribution. If you don't like the manual transmission or the automated manual, I should say, you can just operate it like a regular EV with no noise at all and no transmission-like feel. And this vehicle can be as complicated or as simple as you'd like, really.
Truly it can, yeah. So. And it's all done pretty much by the touch of a button on your steering wheel.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to actually see what we're talking about, Gabby and I have done a video on it, so check that out on the Kia Hyundai channel. We'll also have it linked in this podcast so you guys can take a look at it too. Mm-hmm. But that's, I guess, really the Ioniq 5N.
Yeah, so that's the Ioniq 5N in this world. What other performance EVs have really kind of made you smile?
Truthfully, not really very many performance EVs. It was really the Ioniq 5N, and I find that I still smile kind of when I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's kind of dip into price, because we've talked about how much this vehicle impresses as a vehicle, but what's the price tag and who's it aimed for?
Almost $80,000.
Canadian.
Canadian, baby. With tax, yeah, it's over $80,000. So it's not cheap by any means, but then again, if you're someone who's looking at a performance vehicle, whether you're looking at a BMW M Series, you're probably paying around there anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this one's better. It totally depends on what you're looking for in a car.
Yep, they're very different.
But for what this vehicle gives you, I'm saying this as if we're sitting in it, but whatever, what that vehicle gives you, phenomenal. Seriously, I've never met a vehicle that puts such a fuss smile on my face, mm-hmm. and especially in the EV side of things. I keep telling myself, wow, that's crazy. It's just something I keep looking back on.
And so generally, performance vehicles are going to be more expensive, and yes. generally, EVs are going to be more expensive. When you put the two together obviously, you're going to be looking at a more expensive vehicle, but yeah. I think when you look at other competitors in the market, this is going to be the most fair priced. Now, when I say fair, it doesn't necessarily mean it's affordable. Like, Gabby and I can't buy it.
No.
We can't buy it together. We can get a popsicle stick.
Yes.
from the gas station if we're lucky.
On a good day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not a cheap car, but it's not also Rimac priced, which no one's buying, let's be honest. Mr. Rimac, if you're yeah. watching this. I love your car.
Yeah, send us one, please.
Let us drive it. but it is something that I also think it's a, like you mentioned, a halo project for the Hyundai brand. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to keep coming and coming. It's not going to be our best seller, but it really shapes the brand's identity and says, yeah, guys, we can play this game too. We can do it better.
Yeah, so if you're unfamiliar with what a halo project is it's very much, we've done a podcast episode on it too, but it's very much like how the Kia Stinger changed the brand reputation for Kia, and I think that this is actually doing the very same thing for Hyundai, which I absolutely love, and I think something that's really neat is it allowed the engineers to really sink their teeth into a cool project and yeah. really show what they're able to do. And again, if it wasn't so well done, it would have been a huge flop.
Yes.
But because this vehicle was so well done and all of the details are just so exact, I think it's incredible, and it's really going to change the trajectory of the brand, and I think bring more people into the base, even if this vehicle isn't designed to be a huge volume seller, because it's catered to a niche market, like that's for sure, and it's expensive. So it's not going to be a top volume seller, but it might just bring more people into the brand and have them experience some of the really cool tech that Hyundai does offer.
Yeah. I will say, Kia and Hyundai both have plans to roll out a ton of EVs in the next coming years, and a lot of them will have a GT or N-line type variant where they will incorporate a bit more performance yeah. than some of the other models. So hopefully it's something that becomes more affordable and more attainable, which, fingers crossed, I would love that. And I'd love that. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it will happen. So something that we're really excited to see the future of it, and so happy we were able to experience it this week.
Yeah.
It truly changed. It gave me hope for the future of performance EVs because I was getting a little scared.
Well, yeah, because performance EVs are such a new thing. And if you grew up in the early 2000s, you very much grew up in the whole like JDM era,
yeah.
the Fast and the Furious. And like, again, such fun, incredible cars. But things have changed, obviously, in the past 25 years, where now it's that EV revolution and you're seeing the rise and the fall of electric vehicles. And then through that, the subset of electric performance vehicles. So it's, as weird as it is, it's very exciting to see where the tech is going and where the auto industry is going, especially in terms of those vehicles. And I'm kind of glad that we get to be around for it and see it. But also, I'm really excited to see kind of just like what keeps happening. The auto industry is always changing. So
yeah. One thing I think I'll leave off with is artificial sound is not corny unless it's in any other car. The IONIQ 5N
Mustang,
does such a good job.
TLX.
Oh,
M5.
Not the TLX.
I know. Yeah, no.
That shouldn't even be in here.
I know.
But no, seriously, active sound design is something that a lot of automotive enthusiasts frown upon, but you might even have it in your modern day gas sports car. A lot of them have it.
Yeah.
Just to give that enhancement. Is it necessary in EV? I don't know. Depends on you, but I will say it was really well done in the IONIQ 5N. Other EVs I've driven, including the Kia EV6, kind of sound really not good.
Like a microwave.
But, yeah, exactly.
If you don't like it, though, you can turn it off.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Charlotte, anything you want to end off on?
I don't think so. I think that pretty much covers all of our bases. Do you have a fun fact for us?
It's not fun, but it is a fact.
Okay.
So we're sitting in the 992 generation of the Porsche 911. Yes, their naming platforms are quite interesting. And essentially, this body style was introduced, or this advancement was introduced in 2020, and it incorporated some major changes.
What are they?
Major. So number one, your door handles. They're flush with the body.
Weight reduction, baby. At least it's got door handles.
Yeah. It's also wider now, even on the base trim. So if you're getting the rear-wheel drive, you're still getting that wide body, which we know and love in a Porsche 911. And big thing.
LED
light bar in the back. It spans the entirety of the rear end of the vehicle on all models. So it's standard. It used to be only on, I believe, the S versions and then the GT3s and that kind of stuff. Okay, that's all.
That's all. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next time. If you want to see more of us or hear more from us, stream us on all your platforms for podcasts, or you can check us out at the Kia Hyundai channel on YouTube or on Instagram. My Instagram is chars.cars.khc, and yours is?
Gabis, G-A-B-I-S, Gabby's underscore garage.
You want to spell garage for us today?
G-A-R-A-G-E.
She's pretty, she's smart, and she can spell. Thanks so much for watching. Bye.
See ya.